Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. Happy Memorial Day and happy Pentecost. Don't you love that song, His Eyes is on the Sparrow? Every time we sing, that's absolutely a wonderful song that reminds us how much God loves us, how much He cares for us. Amen? Amen. If any of you are is in a situation that discourage you and make you disheartened, hear the message that God is there with you, God loves you, God watches over you, and everything will be just fine because of His presence in your life. I pray that each of us will have a personal visit from the Holy Spirit this morning, and that you may have the same kind of experience that the people in the early church experienced in that upper room while they were praying, so that you may experience the spiritual awakening in your personal lives, and that God's churches here and everywhere may experience the great spiritual revival. A new believer had many questions about his faith and how God operates in his life. He was marveled at the open communication between God and humans through prayer, but did not quite understand the patience to wait for God's answer. He wished to ask God about God's concept of time and what to pray for. One day, while he was meditating quietly in his living room, he had a visit with God. He could not miss the opportunity and immediately asked, "God, how long is a million years to you?" God replied, "I live in eternity. Million years is a brief span, just like a single second, my son." The man was so excited hearing the answer and quickly moved on to his next question. "How valuable are $1 million in your eyes?" The Lord replied, "Everything in the universe belongs to me. $1 million are just like a single penny." By this time, the man had a revelation about God's math, so he asked God for a small favor. "Well, Lord, could I have one of your pennies?" God promptly replied, "Sure, my son. Just a second." Let's look at prayer from the perspective of the time. Do we pray for something that has already happened, or what is going on now, or will happen in the future? Most likely, we pray for the things happening now, or will happen. If our prayer is related to things of the past, we would probably want the past mishaps not to affect us today and tomorrow, or good things in the past to continue today and in the future. This morning, I'm going to focus on prayer as requests, prayer requests, and differentiate prayer requests from the prayer of thanksgiving. Usually, when we pray for good things that happened in the past, we offer praises and thanksgiving. We thank God for the help in the past, for delivering us from the stormy blasts, opening a breakthrough when we were at life's dead end. On the other hand, our prayer requests are usually related to present or future events and situations. More specifically, when we say grace over the meal, we usually do it before eating. Our prayer for loved ones are for God's intervention in their lives, which is yet to happen. From this perspective, prayer precedes what we pray for. Now, look at what happened on the first Pentecost. In the same manner, the believers' prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The resurrected Jesus stayed with his followers for 40 days and made a specific charge to them to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. After his ascension on the 40th day, 120 followers stayed together in the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper. And Acts 1:14 says, "All these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. For the following 10 days, they prayed without ceasing. The only activity other than praying as a group during those 10 days was to choose Matthias as a new disciple to fill the vacancy of Judas Iscariot." And as we just read, Acts 2:1 begins with, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." So put those two verses together. The verses on Acts 1:14 and 2:1 imply that they had been staying in the same upper room and had been praying from the day of ascension until Pentecost. The dedication to the life of prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. The unceasing prayer preceded the breaking language and cultural barriers for the gospel for the world mission. And this happened again later in the church history in the 18th century. The prayer movement was started by Moravians in Germany in 1727. Moravians were influential to the Wesley brothers in their cultural awakening, which led to the worldwide revival. Count Zinzendorf hoped to reestablish a Christian community at his estate at Besseldorf in Germany. He allowed persecuted Christians from Moravia, that is today's Czech Republic, to build a new town in Hernert next to his town, Besseldorf. Zinzendorf and the refugees committed themselves to prayer and experienced a great spiritual revival in May 1727. 3 months later of the same year, 24 men and 24 women pledged to pray 1 hour every day. Subsequently, the members of the Moravian Church commenced the hourly intercession around the clock, which continued incessantly for the next 100 years. John and Charles Wesley went on board a ship to come to Georgia to do the mission for American Indians and Moravians on board the ship, and continue their relationship with them before and after their mission. John Wesley had a historical conversion at Moravians meeting in Aldersgate Street, London, in May 24, 1738. 11 years after the Moravians started around-the-clock prayer movement. Moravians' dedication to the life of prayer led the conversion of John Wesley and then worldwide spiritual awakening. The scripture testifies, and the church history proves, that behind every spiritual awakening is the power of prayer. The fact that prayer is the must for revival explains why the churches are dying today and why people are moving away from the faith communities. It is because the dedication to the life of prayer no longer backs up the churches and believers. You know, I think I shared this personal testimony some time ago. I came like 1990s to United States, to Boston to study. And then about a year later, following summer, I went back to Korea. And, you know, of course, you know, after the first year in this foreign country, I was all burnt out, exhausted, and emotionally drained and spiritually drained. But it's a strange thing. I mean, I don't know what it was, but when I arrived in Korea, I somehow got this spiritual rejuvenation. And after a month later, I came back and all rejuvenated, and I could continue on. About a year later, I went back to Korea, and that the vibe that I felt was completely different. It was very depressed. I couldn't feel the same vigor, the spiritual vigor that I felt a year before. And I thought that was very strange. And you know, guess what happened? Within a year, the Korea suffered a huge financial collapse nationwide. And they had to borrow money from the International Monetary Fund. I mean, that to me was very weird. And I felt like that, God was telling me that, many of you know Korea now is, Korea has risen from the ashes about 70 years ago to the one of the world's biggest economy today, right? But as God blessed them, they became negligent in the to the life of prayer. And that's how I felt. That's how I felt then. Anyway, Jesus called the temple the house of prayer. So should the church be? We should be the house of prayer. Are we the house of prayer? Without prayer, churches and believers are spiritually dead. How can our church in Yucaipa experience the revival of the Holy Spirit? We all need to be united as one and devote ourselves to prayer as those 120 followers of Jesus and the Moravians did. Our prayers will result in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our church, and that's the spiritual principle. If you feel like, dry emotionally and spiritually, you know why? Because it tells you that you are lacking a very important part of your life, that is the dedication to the life of prayer. Jesus operated with the same spiritual principle of prayer before faithful event. He prayed before he fed thousands of people with a couple of loaves of bread. Jesus prayed before he raised the dead Lazarus. Choosing the key followers for the gospel was a significant part of Jesus' public ministry. And Jesus prayed, the gospel said, all through the night before he chose 12 disciples. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before facing the cross. All of those examples speak that prayer was the believer's main tool to prepare for future events. People know the importance of preparation and say the future belongs to those who prepare for it. By failing to prepare, you are prepared to fail. Before anything else, preparation is the key to success. And how do we, the believers, prepare for our future? I'm going to share with you a prayer that my mom wrote sometime before her passing. And none of her children had any knowledge of it until one of my sisters happened to find it in a note. And, she wrote it in Korean and I translated it. And it goes like this. My wife warned me last night, oh no, don't become teary. I'll try not to. And it goes like this. When I shall go to the land of my Lord, when will I be awakened at the sight of Jesus, my bridegroom? How long shall I ache for you? Isn't it true that life is a constant struggle on rugged path? Time and again, I had nowhere to go amid despair. With a prayer of hope and unassuming endurance, I gained vigor. Hope, faith, joy, and humility are the beautiful gift you have granted unto me. Now, O Lord, allow me to prepare to resign far away, that I may leave all that I have cherished, that I may win the long-fought battle at last. My heart is tender as wildflowers in love with rain. May I go my home, O Lord, the heavenly land on the night of autumn rain. I shall return to heaven like a star in the dawning sky, tasting the early morning dew. I shall return home. I call you with a yearning heart. And await your voice, O Lord. Being shaken bit by bit, my pain gets matured. Now again I become quite weary. Now and again I become heavy-hearted. I long for the very day of rendezvous with you once more. My love, it did not ache to put into the pupil of my eyes the dearest one who have been the supreme blessing from the divine. Those precious have made me taste the true heaven on earth. Endless forgiveness has awarded me this long life. Solitude, but with joy on the steep hill of motherhood. Though shaken by sorrow, I have endured as I clung unto you. How many times have I tried to love with an open heart? How many times have I failed to love with a pure soul? Now I shall leave the past in its past. Now I shall be as vast as the Pacific Ocean, which swallows all the bitterness but abounds in its richness of life. Did I not possess anything but beautiful sons and daughters of six? Handsomely they have grown and flourished. Even the birds in the air know my beloved one in such a way. What do I wish for more? I came empty-handed, I shall go empty-handed. So happy a person I am, so thankful heart I am filled with. I have been granted this supreme bliss. I await the day of the Lord's coming with patience. Amen. And she concluded the prayer. And what was the most striking thing was? After I read this poem, prayer, I realized that my mom passed away all in the morning. And the day of a burial, it rains cats and dogs, as she wrote in her prayer. I mean, that's to me a very weird, but that's exactly what happened. My mom get up all in the morning and spend time in prayer. That's what most Korean, do, right? And that's what her routine was all through her lives. And she got up all in the morning, as usual. And my father noticed that she did. And then she sat on a couch. And then shortly after that, she fell. All in the morning. And it took us about 2 hours to drive to the burial site. And on the way, I thought that we would be soaked to the skin in the pouring rain. But as soon as we arrived the burial site, the rain stopped completely, and the sun was shining brightly. So, I mean, we had a beautiful burial there. But it was just rain all throughout on the way. To me, Mom prepared her departure with prayer. How do we begin our day? By praying ahead. How do we conclude our day? By remembering the blessing from God with thanksgiving and preparing for another day with prayer. Prayer paves the way before us. Praying ahead is the best lifelong practice to prepare for the future. Amen.